Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who haven't scored since 1958, Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast, episode 43. These things are flying by. Remember, this is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your dashing host, Chris, and with me is my good friend and co-host, Case. How you doing, man?
You know, I'm feeling like Bob Quinn is to the Lions roster what Freddy Krueger is to Elm Street. He's cutting shit.
Yes, he is. All right. In today's show, we've got a couple of really important announcements in that announcement section up front. So please be sure to listen to those. We also have the one and only Sandman, the man behind the slow lights. He is joining us today to talk Lions football, the draft, free agency, all kinds of crazy stuff. So we look forward to that. Also, we're going to talk about the last few weeks in Reddit, including bringing you up to date on the most important Detroit Lions news. So we've got a huge show this week. Are you ready to go, Case?
Ready, Freddy.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right, it's time for this week's announcements. Guys, the first one is a really big one. It's big for us, and we really hope it's something that you guys enjoy. We are happy to announce a huge addition to the DetroitLionsPodcast.com website. We've brought in 6 amazing writers to create original Lions content. We're talking about mock drafts, breaking news stories, position breakdowns, draft breakdowns, free agency breakdowns, you name it. These guys are going at it, and they're going at it hard. We've already got a number of stories up, some stuff about some of the history, some of the golden years of the Lions, which, you know, rarely do people talk about those. But there's a lot of really, really great stuff. Go check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We've even got Sandman partnering with us with his videos, and he's having us do a write-up on them as they launch. So when his videos come out, there's going to be analysis to go with the videos, and he'll be linking to our site from his videos as well. Really excited about the partnership. Kevin Dobler, a photographer, great friend of the show, longtime friend of a couple of the players, actually. He's down there. He's bringing all kinds of his own photography. He's going to help bring some really, really great looks to the site as well. Really, really excited. DetroitLionsPodcast.com. There's new content every day. Go check it out. Let us know what you think. As always, we love to hear your feedback, but we're really excited about what we have and the guys that are doing the work. Big shout out to Mike, the Ambling Bastard. He's taking a lead on this and really, really appreciate it. Also, another important announcement. Students, do we have a deal for you? If you can prove that you're a student, come to our site, go to our sponsors page, and right at the top there's an Amazon.com link. Now, who gives a shit, right? Oh, you do. Trust me, you do. We all know about Netflix and chill. What about Amazon Prime streaming and chill? How'd you like that for free for 6 months? How'd you like free shipping on any Amazon order for 6 months? How'd you like all the benefits of Amazon Prime for free for 6 months? All you have to do is go to our sponsors page, click on the link, sign up, and like I said, you get all of that for free going there from our site just using that link. Check it out. They give us a kickback. I'm not going to lie to you guys. They help us out a little bit for that, but it doesn't cost you anything. You can cancel after 6 months and walk away, but 6 months of that kind of benefit, Amazon and chill. Also, if you have a business and you want to advertise on our show, give us an email, chris@detroitlionspodcast.com. Don't forget to check us out on Twitter. Give us a follow. Check out what we got going on. We've been interacting with a lot of folks, having a lot of fun these last couple weeks. It's @DETLionsPodcast, @DETLionsPodcast. Give us a follow, check us out, and have a lot of fun. Don't forget to rate us, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever. If you get us from any kind of aggregator, make sure you leave a mark. Let them know what you think about us, because we're doing our job to leave a mark as well. Also, more about Amazon. They're a big partner, a big helper for us. Anytime you're going to go there, go shopping, check out our website first. Come from our website to get to Amazon.com. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Make sure your ad blockers are turned off. There's a little ad on the right-hand side. It's inobtrusive. It blends in. It's nice, all that kind of stuff. But if you click on that to get to Amazon, they'll give us a little kickback on anything you buy. And the more people that use it, you guys can find yourself a little discounts, a little bit better deal. And again, like I said, they give us a little commission for your sale. So get there, Amazon.com from DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Don't forget, you can leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast, all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast, or leave us a voice message at 929-33-LIONS. That's 929-33-LIONS. You can get in touch with us, tell us anything you like on those, and if you want, we can use those messages and we can get you on the show. Just let us know.
Tighten your chin straps, kids. It's time to review This Week in Reddit.
All right, let's talk about all of the fun and exciting things that have gone down in the last few weeks in Reddit. Case, why don't you kick us off, my man?
For sure. We'll talk about a bunch of the retirements and or cuts throughout this episode. But I think the guy that actually personally that I'll miss the most is Rasheen Mathis. He really came in and he played at essentially a Pro Bowl level for us for a couple of years, despite being one of the oldest players in the league while he was with us. I was really, really hoping, I'm hoping every year that we'll win a Super Bowl, but one of the main reasons I was hoping we'd win a Super Bowl this last year was so that Rasheen Mathis would be remembered as a Lion and not a Jaguar, just because I think he was one of my very favorite players on the team while he was with us. And I know, you know, it's easy as fans to have one down year for a player and for us to move on emotionally. We do it all the time. But for me, you know, he was one of the guys that even though this wasn't his greatest year, like I'm still, he's one of my favorite Lions the last, you know, 5 to 10 years. So.
Sure. Yeah. I loved his leadership. I loved his play. I loved that he would come in like a missile and still wrap somebody up. I just loved me some Rasheen Mathis. And I still remember that game. Man, in a way, it was almost sad to see his last game when he got that concussion, because you could tell he got that thing and his brain was scrambled. And then he was out there. And then, you know, one of the later plays in the game, you see him, and he could have made a play, but he let up and let his teammates make the play that he could have been the guy in on there. You knew he was hurt, but he had such this drive to go out there and play and give it his all. And he just was in denial, I think, at some level that this is how it's going to end. But I just hope he's okay in the long haul. You know, we're hearing more and more about these brain injuries. And you're right, Rasheen's a guy that I really, really liked. He was a classy guy, and he did a lot for this team and the secondary. And I just hope he feels like he's going out strong and is able to hold his head high, even though, you know, things didn't go the way we wanted to in the last game. He was a great player, and I just love watching him.
For sure. And as you mentioned, you know, his leadership, and that, you know, I hope that he transitions that into a coaching career. And I hope that that's with the Lions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. Another big story, and it's a teaser. There's talk of uniform upgrades coming in 2017. And boy, it was a hot and heavy debate in Reddit about whether we should have the black outline around the Lion or not, or just the white outline. Does it blend too much into the grays or the silver, or,
I'm not for the black highlights on any of this clothes. I mean, I'm actually okay with the black uniforms as alternates. I know some people are, some people aren't. I like them, but as far as the regular uniforms go, get rid of the black highlight. It looks much better without it.
Interesting. I didn't really have an opinion either way. I thought it was.
I like it when they own the silver and they own the Honolulu blue.
Yeah. I loved the throwback jerseys in the 90s, man. I really did. They were plain in a way that I really, really appreciated, because they still stood out. Yeah. I also like, man, some of the stuff that, other than the color rush, some of the stuff that Nike's put out, and especially in the college space with some of their uniforms, man, those are hot. I really, really love that modern look that they've come up with. I don't have a suggestion. I'm no design guy, right? I talk shit about the Lions and blow stuff out my ass all the time, but I cannot draw a picture beyond a stick person.
Well, I'm with you on that. I'm completely inept. But
envisioning what this stuff could look like, I'm not going to be good at it. But boy, if we could see something, I mean, like what they did with the Spartans uniforms was so, so cool. If we could see an upgrade that is in that kind of, you know, that feel for the Lions, I would be just over the moon. Something really kick ass and modern and tight like that. I'm open to it, but we'll see. I'm not at the level of, you know, whether it should have a black outline or a white outline, because I'm looking for a complete redesign.
I just think, you know, people and we're getting way further into this than I normally do.
that's what we do.
But people complain all the time about the Lions uniform used to be better. And I have, and a lot of times I think that people say that, you know, just while they're getting used to something, but it's been a long time now.
You're right.
And we still don't really like it that much. So maybe go for something a little more classic. And I think you'll win a lot of people over.
I can agree with that.
Now that was kind of a worthless topic when it comes to actual football.
Thanks, Case.
But it leads me into the next topic, and that is the shit posts on the subreddit right now.
Oh God, I feel so good right now. My knowledge is being tested of uniform scheme. And shit.
But no, it's the off season, and we expect, you know, we all know the shit posts are coming. We all know that every single player who gets cut is going to get a thread. We all know that people are going to put outlandish ideas out there. I try not to come down too hard on people, just because I know. Because I mean, when people post those things, I think they legitimately like want to talk about them. Even if they don't necessarily realize sometimes maybe how outlandish an idea it is. But I think my favorite one that's come up, and whoever posted this time around, if you're listening, I'm not trying to specifically make fun of you. You're not the first person to post it in the Lions sub over the last few years. is the Josh Gordon one.
Well, you should have heard him offline.
Yeah. the Josh Gordon one. He, for one thing, okay, first of all, in case people aren't aware, he is still under contract with the Browns. He's not a free agent.
What?
So in order to get him, you'd have to trade for him. And typically...
No, we just sign him.
Right. Typically, in trades, the team who is the buyer, in terms of the team who is getting the player, has to spend a fair amount. Because the other team knows that they want that player. So here's the situation. We end up giving them, you know, I don't know, maybe a second and a third round pick for Josh Gordon.
That'd be expensive.
It would, but I bet that's probably around the range they'd ask for. And in return, we get a player who's, you know, one doobie away from being, you know, out on the street for the rest of his life, you know, so.
And we know how precarious that kind of position could be, right, Case?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, we were like offline talking a little bit about it, and you think about like Titus Young. and here you got Titus Young sitting here, and he was never benched by the league. He was benched by the team, right? You've got Josh Gordon, who is, you know, got character issues. We know that. He's got a coach that will have no problem benching him. If he's benching Stafford, he's going to bench Josh Gordon in a heartbeat, much less, like you said, he's one mistake away from being ass in the street, and that decision's out of the hands of the team.
Yeah.
I can't see making a bet like that.
No. And to be clear, like, I'm not judging him as a person so much as I am judging his ability to think critically about, you know, what's in my best interest.
Right. It's a risk assessment. It's a
pot.
Sure thing. it's a basic risk assessment. And the risk with Gordon is far, far too high. All right. Let's move from uniforms and shit posts to schedules. It just came out that the Lions are looking to have the fourth easiest schedule this coming season in 2016. And what a wonderful thing that is to hear. You know, no matter where you land in Caldwell, no matter where you land in the rest of the stuff, this schedule looks like it could do to this team what last year's schedule did, but in the opposite. You know, we wound up, I think it was the fifth most difficult schedule in 2015. And I mean, last half of the year we did well, but we got our ass handed to us up front. I would love to see, you know, the schedule carry us, get us a playoff spot. And there's the point, right? We saw a 9-7 Giants team win a Super Bowl just because they made the playoffs. Am I saying we're going to win the Super Bowl? You goddamn right I know.
You heard it here first.
You got to get to the playoffs to even have a shot. And something like this, maybe we get through. Maybe we get through, get lucky with injuries. Maybe we get poised and something clicks that, you know, even the team isn't expecting. But I like to see the easy schedule. I've heard it and said it myself before. You've got to beat good teams to win the Super Bowl. I don't mind waiting until the playoffs to have to beat them, though.
Yeah, I'm a much more pragmatic viewpoint on that. Like, get me to the playoffs, because once you get to the playoffs, anything can happen. And we've seen that, you know, we've seen teams go from, you know, fifth and sixth seeds to win the Super Bowl. So like, get me to the playoffs, and then then we could talk about, you know, having to beat good teams. No, as far as the easiest schedule goes, what is the easiest schedule at the end of the season will be different than what it is right now. However, like, so I mean, every time people bring up the schedule, people always, you know, make that rebuttal. However, I don't think it's without merit completely. I mean, when you look at the schedule we're facing, we're facing not a ton of elite quarterback talent, unlike what maybe we have had to deal with. We're talking about the AFC South, where the Texans don't have an elite quarterback. The Jaguars certainly don't have an elite quarterback. The Titans don't have an elite quarterback. The Colts maybe, but we don't know where Andrew Luck will be at. Like, he certainly wasn't elite this year, and I know the injuries were a huge factor, but I mean, the team as a whole kind of failed on him, and they may continue to do so. So we've got that, you know, and then we've got the AFC East, and you're looking at, you know, they've got Kirk Cousins, who's, you know, probably the next Nick Foles in Washington. You know, Eli is Eli. He's not elite and not getting any better at this point in his career. You've got a weird situation in Philadelphia, and Tony Romo, who, you know, breaks easily. We'll just leave it at that. So, I mean, you add in a couple other games, and in our division, even, you know, there's Aaron Rodgers, and I would expect that to some degree Aaron Rodgers will be back on top of things again next year. But, you know, Bridgewater is a mediocre quarterback.
Teddy Buttwiper, smoking right. Jay Cutler.
And Jay Cutler doesn't scare me.
No. So. And Aaron Rodgers, I'm not going to call him overrated. I'm not completely insane. I'm not smoking what you are over there, Case. But I do have to say that we saw some real chinks in the armor. He's going to have Jordy Nelson back.
He's old now and coming off injury.
Right. I don't know how he's going to do. There's some question marks there. It's not Aaron Rodgers is going to be the cover of Madden again this year kind of a thing, right? So I'm not as afraid of him as I used to be, especially where we beat him twice in regulation this year. So anyway, I didn't mean to step on you there with a quarterback.
Oh, no.
Ours is, our division actually does present some pretty easy quarterbacks to go against.
My main point is that when you look at our schedule, I definitely think this year will be easier than last year was. And you know, if it'll end up the fourth easiest schedule, hard to say. Probably not, just because I can see some of those teams improving a little bit, but not as hard as, you know, especially not as hard over a long chunk of time as last year was. Moving on to the next one. We picked up a new quarterback coach from the Broncos.
Is he a Cooter or a Wood?
Familiar
or
to anyone, yeah.
Is his name Dong? What do we got going on here?
No. Brian Callahan. Oh. And for those who aren't aware of the Callahan name, his father was Bill Callahan, who was a head coach for the Raiders and had a fair amount of success with the Raiders many years ago. And he is currently an offensive line coach for the Redskins. So, I mean, you know, obviously we learned with Lombardi that having football, you know, bloodline doesn't mean much. But it's obviously it's the same place we got Cooter from, and that seems to be a good move.
Mm-hmm. And Cooter work together. They work together well.
Put with an asterisk there, just because we don't really know yet. But I mean, it's certainly not a bad move at face value. If he's somebody that Cooter likes, and Stafford likes Cooter, and we'll draw a little love triangle here, and hope that works out.
So. Well, if you look at last year's wedding pictures, he certainly loves Cooter. And then maybe we could nickname Callahan. I mean, because he's got a fit. Maybe he could be Brian the Dong Callahan. I don't
know, swinging Brian Callahan.
just put it out there, right? No, I like this. The fact that he and Cooter worked together. I know Stafford had to be in on this hire in some way. They didn't just do this in a vacuum and without his kind of I don't want to say blessing, but his input for sure. So I think. We'll see how it goes. You know, you could easily put a knock on him. It's like, well, God, you saw Peyton Manning this year. He was shit. He was a shell of himself. And we hired the guy that coached him, right? But I'm not going to be negative like that, because I don't think that Brian the Dong Callahan had anything to do with Peyton's performance in that way.
Yeah.
All right, so moving on to the next and final topic. Talk a little bit about running backs. There's a lot of talk. You know, we've cut Joik. He's not with us anymore. You know, where are we? Who should we pick up? And I look at our running back core right now. I'm going to leave kind of George Wynn out of the picture. He's a preseason superstar, but I don't know where he's going to wind up this year.
Yeah.
He's still living in the basement over there, right? I think we should do a Kickstarter for him. But anyway, we got Amir Abdullah, we got Theo Riddick, and we got ZZ Zagzetta coming back. And I've said it since Zach got hurt. You know, he's going to be our bruiser back, and he lacked a little bit of that size, that NFL, you know, punch to him. He had all the right tools. His legs kept churning. We saw a lot of really, really good potential in this kid, but I looked at him and he just didn't have the size for the way he ran. And the shot that he took to the ribs and, you know, the results of that, I think, and I've said this before, was a blessing in disguise. I think this gave him a whole lot of NFL conditioning, NFL diet. It gave his body some time to mature and grow. I think we're going to see Zach come in this year, maybe another 5-10 pounds in that body, and a lot more muscle and bulk around him. I think we're going to see some great things out of Zach Center this year. I'm really excited about him. Amir Abdullah, the same thing. He's got some time to work on what those little hands do and holding on to the ball. He didn't have a terrible year. He only had one
fumble in the second half of the year, for what it's worth. Like, yeah. He certainly, there were so many ways that you could look at the Lions season to see a first half and a second half. Well, he significantly stepped it up in the second half. So, you know, I'm not concerned about that as a major issue for him long term. Whether or not he'll be, you know, I'm hoping that he takes a step forward this year, but that's, you know, that's all I'm really asking for, is to take a step forward and not fumble it as much.
Yeah, I think the thing that stands out in my mind for the second half of the year is the kickoff off the chest bouncing out to the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
Twice that happened, and that you know, I didn't feel good about that. So I think he's, you know, you've said it, Adrian Peterson had many of the same kind of issues in his first year. I think there's a lot of work going into Amir, and we're going to see some good outcome. But the one I really want to talk about is Theo Riddick. I think this is a year where he's really going to have his chance. This is his chance to stand out. We saw flashes of amazingness from him, but when you think of runs from the line of scrimmage, the next highest number of yards last year was attained by Matthew Stafford. Yeah. I think Theo has the ability to run between the tackles. I think Theo has the ability to run out of the backfield. I think we know and have seen his ability to catch the ball and make moves and break ankles and all those things. I think this is Theo's year, and I can't wait to see him seize the day and come out and really, really excel. I think this guy is hungry, and I just believe that this is his chance. Do we need somebody else? Yeah, you don't run a roster with just three guys. Is George Wynn the practice squad guy? I don't know. I think we can even upgrade there. But we have a lot of holes in the roster. We've made a lot of holes in the roster as a result of cuts and so on this year. So if we have to stick with these three running backs, I'm feeling pretty good going into the year. And then George Wynn in the background is the guy we'll keep an eye on.
Yeah, whether they go vet or whether they pick somebody up in the draft, I do suspect that there'll be a new running back or possibly Joik back, depending on situations. But I'm happy with where they are. I think the only reason they need to bring in somebody else is because we don't really know for sure whether or not Zenner will be, you know, whether or not he's going to be able to be the guy, because we have to wait and find out, you know, if he'll be healthy and if he can withstand the NFL. And I think that, I think that's still a fair question. If he, I have very high hopes for him. Obviously,
I love Zach Zenner.
The soundbite says it all. But we need a little bit of insurance in terms of a power back, and so I think that's probably what they would look for in the draft or free agency.
All right, guys, that's our take on these last few weeks in Reddit and all the talk and excitement that's gone down.
Time for a different kind of breakdown with today's special guest.
All right, we've got the king of the slow lights, the top dog producer of Lions hype videos, and a man who just surpassed 1 million views on his Calvin Johnson video. It is Sandman joining us. How are you doing, my man?
I'm very, very good. How are you guys tonight?
We're pretty good. Oh, well, I can't speak for Chris. I'm pretty good. We're glad to have you on, of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Always good to be on.
So, Sandman, you know, especially on Twitter, it's funny, for a long time, your voice was just the videos, and we didn't get to see a whole lot of, you know, the mystery man, Sandman, and the guy behind the scenes who were putting these awesome, awesome videos together. And you've gotten more vocal lately and seen a lot more coming out of you on Twitter. And this offseason, boy, things have been on fire across the board. And I've seen a lot of stuff from you. I mean, of course, the big move with Quinn and Mayhew and on down the line. There's been a lot of action on the Lions side, and this guy who's been, you know, season ticket holder, a big fan for such a long time, really, really love to get some of your insights as to what's going on here and your thoughts.
Well, I am a huge fan of Martha. You know, after Senior died, it was kind of a crapshoot for me. I had no idea what to expect. I really didn't have many high hopes for Martha, because she had been in the background for so long. And all she's done this whole offseason is prove my initial thoughts wrong, and she seems to be doing the stuff that we as Lions fans have been craving for so long, especially, you know, getting rid of Luan and Mayhew, who have kind of been lame ducks here for a little while, you know, just kind of skating along, doing good enough. And I think, you know, that really excites me, and I hope it excites other people as well, especially, you know, the Quinn hire and all that really has me excited.
There's a lot of talk about the Patriots connection, and is this Patriots Junior and that sort of thing. You think that's what Quinn's bringing, or is he, I mean, in my mind, he's bringing just a different style. He, you know, he's bringing a winner's mentality with him, because it doesn't necessarily look like we're doing, you know, the Patriots 2 here. What are your thoughts there?
You know, I think seeing what Quinn has done, you know, when they interviewed him, I think Rod Wood came out and said that they were incredibly impressed with his plan and the fact that he already had a plan for what he was going to do if he got hired here, and how quickly things have kind of been moving along, and all of the crazy stuff that he's done, not just personnel wise, you know, with Joik Bell, Tulloch and stuff like that, but with stuff behind the scenes, athletic trainers, you know, people that are dealing with the athletes in the back that we have no idea, you know, what kind of impact they actually have other than, you know, what the players say about them. So that excites me. I think Quinn is going to bring his own attitude and his own style. You know, I'm not sure yet. I think I'll have to see a draft or two in a free agency period to actually understand what Quinn is trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. You know, the Patriots are kind of off the beaten path, you know, and I'm not sure that the Lions are built to follow that same path, you know, with a smaller, not so highly accoladed wide receivers, big bruising running backs. You know, that doesn't really fit our MO, but it seems like Quinn is able to mesh around what's already been built and try to build his own steps on top of what's already been here.
Yeah, I agree. And the other big thing that we don't have that the Patriots have is, you know, the best football mind in the league. So there's that.
minor details. Right. Okay, come on.
But so no emotions to get in the way.
Yeah.
Well, we kind of do have that.
True. You talked a little bit. You mentioned some names as far as guys who've gotten cut from the actual team as far as players are concerned. Is there anybody? How are you feeling about those? Are there ones that you particularly liked? Didn't like? As a whole, do you think those moves have been all good moves?
So far, so good. Nothing too crazy has occurred that's thrown me for a loop. You know, Steven Tulloch, I've kind of been harping him. If you follow me on Twitter, I've been harping on him every game that he's in.
Yeah.
You know, where he's like one step behind the running back, one step behind the tight end, and then it goes for 25. You know, where he's just in molasses and everybody else isn't. Mm-hmm. So, you know, to me, he was extremely serviceable, and he was, in fact, good for the first couple of years he was here. But I think that knee surgery and his age have kind of caught up with him, and he's kind of not going to fit what our defense is anymore. Because if you watch our defense, it's mostly about speed and ability to cover. And really, it's funny to me that Tulloch spent so much time here because he can't really do either of those things. Kind of same, James Ahedebo kind of falls into the same category. You know, where his first year here, he was able to kind of be a box safety, didn't have to worry mm-hmm. about flying around in the backfield
yep.
Too awful much. But this year, without pressure up front, because we were missing a bunch of line talent, you know, he was asked to do more and he couldn't handle it. Really, the only one that hurts me a little is Joique Bell, because I like Joique Bell as a player. I liked him as a person, you know, his story from Detroit was a cool one. Mm-hmm. And I think he kind of got a bad shake at the beginning of the year because I think he was kind of rushed back before he was fully healthy.
Yeah.
But
in the beginning of the year, nothing was good.
No,
for anybody,
yeah, nothing was good at the beginning yeah. of the year. At the end of the year, he started to show some signs of old Joique, but at his price, you know, I'm not upset about it. If he was making $1 million and we cut him, I might think to myself, what the heck? But I think he was at $3.2 million or something along those lines, and that's a lot for our potential third string or possibly even fourth string running back. So sure. I'm not too upset or, you know, too excited about anything that's happened yet. They all seem like pretty standard moves to me at this point.
So just to add to the Joique Bell thing real quick, I just saw before we started this interview that he apparently turned down an offer from the Lions before they cut him, just for a little context added to that. You know, I don't think the team wanted to part ways. He was just a little too expensive.
Yeah, and I saw that too, and that makes me a little bit happier about the situation. And it's nice to know that at least Quinn is trying to retain people, maybe not at the price that they want, but that also kind of opens up the door for maybe Joique coming back if market's not there for him, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah. So let's go back to the linebacker position. I have a little bit of an unpopular opinion, and I haven't shared it a whole lot, but we saw what happened with Steven Tulloch and what his comeback was like, and we're staring at something with DeAndre Levy, which I'm personally a little bit nervous about. I love DeAndre Levy. I love the way he played. I love, you know, the whole thing that is DeAndre, but I look at the injury he had. They thought he could come back. He played a couple plays. He was right out. That's it. It's surgery. I mean, he's effectively not been able to do anything since June, you know, May of last year. And a hip injury is no joke, right? This is something that you don't see as much as knees and the. I don't know where the state of the science is on these kinds of things, but I have this nagging fear in the back of my mind that DeAndre, you know, they're saying he's not going to be ready till camp. that he's not going to be what he used to be when he gets back. What do you think about that? Where's your head on DeAndre Levy?
You know, I'm nervous about that too. I haven't put too much thought into it because I don't want to, you know, make myself upset too early in the off season. But yeah, hips are funky. You know, like that's what put Bo Jackson down, I believe, right?
Right.
Was a hip, and his was a little crazier, I think. But we don't even really know what happened to DeAndre Levy's hip. Nobody ever really came out and said what it was. You know, we heard parasites. We heard a massive dislocation. We heard a bunch of stuff. So I'm hopeful for DeAndre Levy, but I think we need to plan around him not being available for the first month, even possibly. Because if, you know, anytime they say he'll be ready by camp, you know, what does that really mean? What kind of shape is he staying in? I think he'll be fine, but there's a difference between going to a weight room and like lifting weights and actually running, which is what DeAndre Levy is really good at. And because of that, I'm on the linebacker at 16.
Me too.
The Reggie Ragland one, or
yeah, I really do like Reggie Ragland. You know, and it's so I'm hoping that we have a solid enough core that if we're missing one linebacker, you know, we play enough nickel at this point that having two solid linebackers, I think, wouldn't kill us. True. But if we go into next year with just Tahir Whitehead and a hopeful thought on Van Noy, that makes me nervous.
Bynes.
Oh, yeah, and Bynes. Old man Bynes. Yeah.
He was in the Scooby-Doo movie, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A lot of the fan base is really high on Bynes right now.
Bynes,
I mean, played well.
Well, but man, he'll have that flash play. He'll defend that tight end perfect, and then he'll have that play where he gets sucked up by a play action and he's 20 yards behind his guy. Mm. You know, I think he's serviceable as in a backup role if we need him for a game or two, but I definitely don't want to see him out on the field a lot.
Yeah.
And you know, Van Noy to me is, I don't know what to think about Van Noy. Like, you watch his college tape.
Yeah.
And it's amazing. He's flying all over the place. He knows what he's doing. He's intercepting balls. He's picking up fumbles. He's causing fumbles. And he looked so lost last year. I remember one play I was watching. I don't even remember what game it was. And he played zone and everybody else played man. And I watched it. And I was watching it live and I thought, holy crap. And I had to tweet about it. I was upset. Like, what the hell? You know, I think it let up a touchdown. I'll try to find it. But I'm hoping he can pick it up.
It reminds me of the play where Ebron went out. He was supposed to block, and he went out for the short dump. And Stafford just got destroyed on the play.
You know, there was so many of those in the first half of the season that it kind of blows my mind how that happens to an NFL team.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't you practice? Isn't that part of practice?
They say Lombardi's scheme was too complicated, and I maybe agree with that. But I think the bigger problem was just that Lombardi wasn't good at getting it into the guys' heads. Like, I don't think our players are that stupid. I think that, you know, they could understand a more complicated scheme if somebody who was good at explaining it to them and good at getting their, like, I don't know if it's the way they practice that doesn't, you know, doesn't ingrain the stuff the way it's supposed to or what, but geez, it was rough.
You know, I kind of, you know, I spent a lot of time, you know, during the season looking at offensive line play and just mistakes overall, and there were a ton of them.
Yeah.
And what it looked to me like what was happening was that Lombardi had such a complicated system that he would call a play and then he would expect everybody to see the exact same thing. So without communication, the wide receiver knows that, oh, well, the safety is lined up like this. I'm going to run a slant route instead of a hook.
Sure.
And he expects Stafford and the wide receiver to see it the exact same way. And I think part of the problem was that also went into our line play. Because if you watched our line at the beginning of the year, you had guys completely unblocked. You had guys blocking down. You had guys blocking up. You know, and it was almost like they were supposed to react to what the defense was about to do. But none of them, you know, half of them read it right. The other half didn't.
Right.
You know, and it was just too hard of a system. And then as soon as he was out of there, it was like the light bulb went on for everybody.
Yep.
And things started clicking. And I think that you know, I don't know how good of a coach Joe Lombardi is, but I think he was a horrible teacher.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I would agree great. With that.
The yep. hardest part about that, I think, is that the defenses seem to know the plays and knew what we were doing better than our own team did.
Yeah, that didn't help either, you know, when because even I could sit and watch the game and look at it, look at the formation and think, oh, okay, well, here comes that tight end screen we run four times a game.
Yep.
Here comes
Joik up the middle.
Here comes Joik dead up the middle. You know, and I started to lose it when we were running goal line packages on our own 25-yard line. You know, like, what is happening? You know, we have seven offensive linemen in there. Like, duh, we're running straight ahead. We don't, and our line's not good enough to do that. You know, we're not the, you know.
Well, Lombardi, look at you.
Steelers, yeah.
Running the goal line in our own 25, and you've caught no one off guard. Brilliant.
Yeah, you know, I call those wasted plays because they don't have any semblance of a possibility of, like, a positive thing happening. So it's like you're running with only two downs instead of three, and that happens so much. I think I did some math. I'd have to find what I typed out. But I think it ended up being like one out of every six plays was a wasted play that Lombardi would call. Wow. Like just a horrible draw play or horrible sweep to the short side of the field when we've got two wide receivers out there that really can't block. You know, like Lance Moore is out there and he doesn't block anybody. You know, just crazy stuff that I think I see this. Why the hell doesn't the coach see this? And there's tons of fans out there that were in the same boat. Like, what is this?
Yeah.
So let's talk. There's a large elephant in the room with some of the keeps and changes going back to Quinn here, and that's the Jim Caldwell retention. It's a polarizing choice. Not for Jim, his face wouldn't have changed whether he had the job or been fired. But
all his Polaroids look the same.
Yeah,
call him the equator.
What do you think, man? What do you think about keeping Caldwell and what does it mean for the team now and down the line?
You know, I wasn't sure. Caldwell had games that just angered me so much that I thought to myself, there's no way they can keep this guy. You know, there's no possible way. You know, like fire everybody. There's no way that this coaching staff has control of anything. And then they would have games that the team doesn't give up on when they possibly could. Mm-hmm. You know, they come back after a horrible loss and it's like nothing ever happened. So to me, I think it came down to when the players started speaking out for Caldwell, like specifically saying, like, this is the guy that we want here. He's done a fantastic job for us, with us. You know, it's hard for me to want him gone, I guess. If there was a Jim Harbaugh floating around in space looking for a head coaching job this year, or, you know, like a Bill Parcells type of guy,
right. That
I'm all for trying to get those guys. But I really didn't see anybody that really tickled my fancy too awful much. You know, Hugh Jackson maybe, but he already kind of had a gig that failed. You know, and then Adam Gase, you know, a lot of people liked him, but he wanted GM control, which I am vehemently against. I hate that. Mm-hmm. Give me a head coach that coaches. Give me a GM that GMs. I don't want the same guy doing both. That just sounds horrible. So I'm okay with Caldwell. I like Caldwell as a person. I like Caldwell as a teacher in the back. I think some of his game time decisions are lacking, obviously. I think it took him way too long to fire Lombardi, but I think, you know, I don't know. Part of me likes to think that you can't make decisions like that too rashly, but then the other part of me thinks that it was so bad that, come on, what the heck?
Yeah, okay. I find myself in the same situation. I can't ever quite decide whether or not I think it was a good thing whether or not in that situation, what decision I would have made. And I can't say for sure one way or the other, because you don't want to, we talk all the time about, you know, the value of consistency, and that you, if you cut a guy too quickly, it, you know, A, they don't have a chance to fully, you know, grow into their role, and B, what message does it send to all the other candidates? Now, that said, I wish we'd have gotten rid of Lombardi, but that's hindsight. So,
yeah, I was making that exact argument for Lombardi early this year. And boy, I regret, you know, my thoughts on that one. But You know, I also have a hard time with the Caldwell thing, whether to keep him or get rid of him. The same thing. I didn't see any talent that kind of exceeded his ability out there. And one of the key things, I think, is exactly where you alluded to, Sandman, is the players' love of this guy as a coach, and they're not giving up on him. You bring in a new GM like Quinn, and if he walks in and one of the first things he does is fire the player favorite, he's going to lose them, right? We saw that when Wade and Fonce was let go years ago, and that didn't do well for the team, the coach, or anybody there. So, you know, love Caldwell or not, that's probably the right move for this season, even if it may limit us. But I don't think it automatically is going to limit the team and what they can do.
No, and I 100% agree with both of your points, because consistency is key. You know, we're finally, the offense finally looks good. Stafford had his best year since 2011. You know, Theo Riddick is kind of starting to shine in this offense. So is Ameer Abdullah. You know, I think if you get rid of Caldwell, you're basically rebuilding, because even though we have talent, you're asking that talent to relearn again. You're asking that talent to get used to another coaching staff and the way that they coach again. And I think that Quinn keeping Caldwell was actually one of my favorite Quinn moves, not just because he kept Caldwell, but because of his rationale behind it, which is that we need consistency. There's going to be plenty of changes around here, and we don't need to shell shock everybody with, you know, a massive turnaround immediately. And I think, you know, Jim and I have the ability to work together, because it didn't sound to me like Quinn made a rash decision that he wanted to keep Caldwell just because. Sounds like they had a good sit down meetings.
It said like 12 hours. Yeah.
You know, and I think they talked about philosophy. They talked about, you know, what kind of players they want, what kind of men they want in their locker room, and, you know, what they expect out of their men. And I think that, you know, given the opportunity, Caldwell's probably the top, one of the top coaches in the league at, you know, developing men. Yeah. So I think Quinn saw that, and I think he liked it. And I'm excited to see what this year brings. I hope they don't give Caldwell too long of a rope if we start to go down the same path as last year. But at the same time, I don't want to be too rash about anything.
Well, I think one of the conversations they might have had also was around, you know, what are some of your weaknesses, Jim? And they seem to have brought him in some help, kind of like Belichick's right-hand man, Ernie, who kind of sits there and nobody really knows what he does. But he does these amazing things that Belichick wants. They're putting those kind of people in the organization to help Caldwell make the right decisions, to get in his ear on the sidelines at the right time. At least that's what it looks like to me. And hopefully, you know, those things that really get under our skin about Caldwell are fixed by somebody in his headset saying, call the timeout, don't kick the damn field goal, things like that, so that, you know, he makes some of those right game management decisions, which are kind of, you know, things that people really kind of pick apart the most. Help him do those, and then allow him to be the leader that he is and do the things that he excels at.
I agree.
Here's what I think. I think that if the Lions have success this year, it'll be because the system is working, because I think they're going to be up against some pretty heavy odds in terms of the depth of talent on the team. Not to say that we don't have a lot of talent on the team, because we do, but and partial credit goes to a conversation I had with Zylan this week, but they are going to have a ton of roster spots to fill. And even though our cap situation is okay right now, like, seriously, they have probably at least 20, maybe more roster spots they're going to have to fill between free agency and I mean of the 53, like I don't mean practice squad, I don't mean any of that stuff. So it's for this team, if this team, you know, winds up with, you know, quality depth this year, I'll be a little surprised. I won't be terribly shocked if they're better than last year, but that's going to require this whole system to work. And if it works, I think Caldwell deserves some credit. I guess I'll wait and see if it works.
You know, Case, I want to piggyback on that, because I was thinking a lot of the same things. It feels like this year we've dug so many more holes out of the roster. There's so many more open positions and cuts before free agency, before the draft. And I'm looking at, boy, how daunting is this task to fill this roster now? You've cut some decent players, and do you have a plan to replace them? And then on to depth beyond that, because depth is one of the things that the Patriots had a luxury of and seemed to do, you know, they would hit on guys off the wire as well, seemingly every time. It seems like we're hamstringing ourselves this year, much different than we have in the past. Where are your thoughts on that, Sandman?
I agree that depth was and has been a problem under Mayhew. You know, he spent a lot of time and effort on getting starters and, guys that would see action a lot. But, you know, you look back and you see, like, our fourth string defensive tackles not doing anything. Our obviously, we had issues at right tackle last year where our right tackle that seemed all right the year before took a nosedive, and then our backup right tackle was even worse somehow. And then we're starting Michael Ola off the street, you know. And one of the things that Quinn said when he came in was that the biggest problem with the Lions last year was depth. And I 100% agree with that.
Yep.
You know, we have the front end talent. It's really the guys that are behind that, that come in and spell for, you know, a couple plays here and there that really make the difference, you know. And sure. I think going back to the Patriots way, you know, like you said, Patriots always seem to have quality depth. You know, they bring a guy off the street and somehow he magically just fits the system.
Steven Jackson is the latest, right?
Yeah, exactly. You know, even LeGarrette Blount, they brought him in, then all of a sudden he was an all-world returner, even though he ran like a 4.10 40. You know, like, what the hell is that, you know? But I think, you know, that's what Bob Quinn did for the Patriots, and I think he'll do this a similar thing for us, you know, in bringing in talent that he knows fits. You know, even like Butler, that won them a Super Bowl basically on the last play, you know, he wasn't a starter. He wasn't anybody really of note until that game happened, you know, and, you know, we need more of that. We need more guys that are able to come in, fill some shoes, and maybe if they're not quite as good, be serviceable enough for us to not have to alter game plans, not have to alter the way that we're going to do things, and keep the train rolling.
For sure. All right, I have one last question that I kind of want to tap to, and you can go after the case with whatever you want. There's this narrative that's hung around for a long time around this team, and it's the same old Lions. And you hear it all the time, and every time you get hope, you're like, ah, you know, get that out of here. I don't need that trash. And then, you know, partway through the season, you know, your wide receiver has a heart attack on the field or something. Something crazy happens. And you're like, it is the same old Lions. God dang it. But now I'm looking at this, and I'm looking at the changes, starting with Martha, who I'm a huge fan of, as you said. And then Bob Quinn and the changes he's made and the depth of the cuts he's made in the front office and the trainers and into the player base. It's amazing. And I kind of sit here and look at it, and tell me if I'm drinking the Kool-Aid again here, but this doesn't feel – I don't win or lose, right? They could still come out losers this year, right? There's still a possibility of that. But this isn't the same old Lions. This is a completely different approach than what we've seen historically. The only thing is, you know, the owners are the same, but you look at Martha and the moves she makes are completely different. It's like having a completely different owner, in my mind, the way she's running this. What do you think about this narrative? I mean, do you think – I think in my mind we've shaken it based on how we've set things up this year, even no matter what the results are. But where are you at on the same old Lions narrative?
I hate same old Lions. You know, that bothers me for some reason. I'm not sure why, but deep down inside it does. But to me, there's two different types of same old Lions. You have same old Lions, they drafted this horrible player that Todd McShay hates. And then there's same old Lions, give up last second Hail Mary to Aaron Rodgers. I think Martha is solving one of those. I think the same old Lions, as far as the way that the team was run and the decisions that were made, I feel like that was senior. It was all senior. I don't think he was good at running a football team. And I think it was, I don't want to say it was a hobby for him because he obviously loved it, but he didn't have the full capabilities, I think, to fully understand. He relied on other people too much. He relied on Tom Luan to tell him what to do. And then Tom Luwan's, you know, also reaching in his pocket and collecting a paycheck, right, you know, which isn't necessarily the greatest thing in the world. So when he passed away and Martha took over and she started doing the things that, you know, us as fans have been asking for forever. Like, you know, she drives in her golf cart through the facility and just starts pointing at people and firing them.
Playing duck hunt out there.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like that's awesome. That's what fan, you know, us as fans, we wanted to see. You know, we got rid of the president that, other than contracts, really didn't have anything to do with the football side, but got rid of him anyway because we have been sucking. Mm-hmm. And he's a part of the upper echelon and he needs to go. You know, we got rid of Martin Mayhew, who, you know, probably wasn't the best GM in the world, but I don't think he was one of the worst either. Sure. But, you know, just starting over and then getting Ernie Accorsi in here, like out of retirement, like he was retired. He wasn't going to help any other teams look for GMs. And somehow Martha persuaded him to come out of retirement to come help us. You know, everything they've done so far has been A+ in my book. You know, we'll see if the hires that they've made are 100% and work out the way that they want. But I definitely don't think that you can call this front office or the owner same old Lions anymore. And I think, you know, going back to the two different kinds of same old Lions, I think that one, if you solve one, the other one starts to slowly take care of itself. You know what I mean? You don't, right, you know, maybe we don't notice those horrible calls that are against us as much because, you know, our front office gets players that don't allow crap like that to happen. you know what I mean? So there's, yeah, you know, there's a lot of things, you know, like you were mentioning earlier about Quinn with hiring people to maybe help Jim with timeouts or help him with challenges or, you know, just to keep his mind focused on the players. You know, maybe if that was in place last year, maybe Calvin Johnson's on the field for that Hail Mary. Maybe we don't have Ziggy Ansah playing, you know, the short pass game on that play. You know, there's a lot of things. I think, you know, small things turn into big things. And I think all the stuff that they've been doing so far is going to lead to big things for us.
I agree. I think the only thing I have to add is that we as Lions fans have become so accustomed to it. And it's almost strange for us to try to think about it any other way of the team doing everything they can to win this year. And I don't think that's the approach Quinn is taking. He's taking I want this team to win, you know, a lot for a long time.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
And it may not happen this year. But doing what you have to do to avoid these ridiculous, you know, contracts situations that we have been in is one big way that, you know, I think that is the like most prominent, you know, way that you can see that that's what is happening here. So it encourages me in the long term. I'm not necessarily super optimistic about 2016. I don't want to say that I don't think, you know, that I'm totally down on it either. But I just like the long-term direction that it looks like they're going. I think the only other question I have, and I think this is the last thing we've got, you've got something special coming out this week, right?
Oh yeah. You know, I've been digging around all the file footage for a while now, and rewatching games, and kind of going through everything. And I released my Theo Riddick highlights and the Amir Abdullah highlights. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to have Eric Ebron highlights coming out this week. I know he's kind of a polarizing figure. I'm sure lots of people are going to watch it just so they can be angry about it. You know, that, you know, like, oh, Odell would have made that guy miss that tackle. Or, you know, Aaron Donald would have not even been in this highlight because he's so great. You know, I'm sure. But, you know, I like Eric Ebron. You know, he's a part of our team now. There's nothing we can do about it. You know, I didn't mind the pick when it happened even because I saw his talent and his ability. But that being said, his highlights should be fun, and I'm looking forward to getting them out hopefully Wednesday this week.
That's awesome. And I have to tell you, everybody who doesn't know yet, we've started this whole new section of the site, new part of the site. We've got a bunch of writers putting out some real top quality content, and our man Sandman here has allowed us to take part in the launch of these videos. And we really appreciate you taking, you know, allowing us to put your stuff up and share it with other people and hopefully expand your viewer base as well. But these are great, great videos. I mean, around the world, we've heard from people, and you know, from last time you're on the show, how much they love what you do and how much of the Lions kind of spirit you bring to guys. I mean, as far as the way he's hungry, I got a picture of a guy and his infant son in full-blown Lions gear. You know, they were streaming a game illegally off the internet. But in between those games, I mean, these guys are rabid, and they have such a lack of information. And your videos, they say, just really, really help carry them through. So it's great of you to share with us.
Yeah, you know, I'm happy to do stuff like this. You know, my videos are kind of, they stand alone. You, if you want to watch them because you want to get hyped about a certain player and their highlights from the last year, then that's perfect. If you want to look back on it and try to find nuances in it, you know, that's great too. And I think it's a perfect opportunity for somebody to take a look at the video, do a write-up, and help people possibly see the small stuff that they don't normally see. And I would love to do that myself, but I'm a busy guy. And, you know, I think this is a perfect marriage, if you will, of time and effort.
Awesome. Yeah, it's great. And I'm gonna love to see what these guys put together around the videos you have there. This is just, I think it's great. It's a match made in heaven. We can feel a little thing that you wanted to do and help people out with a little bit of another person's viewpoint on what they're looking at while they're looking at it. So really, really great. And also great to have you on, Sam, man. Love to do it a little more often, if you don't mind. I mean, with free agency coming and the draft, there's going to be a lot to talk about.
I assume you've got more videos coming out yet too. So
I do. I've still got Tate and I've still got Stafford and, you know, the Calvin Johnson one, I made one and I deleted it and I made another one and I deleted it. So I'm not sure. He was definitely going to retire. I made a retirement video, and then I thought, I don't want to make a retirement video. And so we'll see. We'll see when he decides what's happening, you know, what kind of video he gets, and I guess go from there.
Yeah. I mean, let me ask you about that. The last Calvin Johnson video you did, you nailed over 1 million views on that. That's got to feel pretty good.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because his videos always tend to be so long, it's almost impossible to find music that's that long slash fits what I'm trying to do. Because I don't like having multiple songs in a highlight video. I just don't, for some reason. It's a pet peeve. You know, so I pick music and I like it and I put it out there. And then a week later, I'm like, I don't really like this music anymore. And that's one of the videos where I'm like, I don't really know if I like this music anymore. And it's my top grossing video of all time, so go figure. shows I know very little about what is actually happening. I'm not in touch with with as much as I thought I was.
Kids these days.
I used to be with it. Now, you know,
it has changed
from The Simpsons. Yeah.
Now it's with me, and I have to take medication. All right, Sandman, dude, thank you so much for joining us. Love having you on the show. Look forward to having you on more often here in the future, and thanks for everything you do, man. You really make being a Lions fan just that much more fun.
Absolutely, and it's always a pleasure to be on with you guys.
All right, guys, that does it for this week's episode. Remember, we're looking for your involvement. We've got the great new layout of the site. We've got a bunch of new content coming from these amazing writers. Check it out, DetroitLionsPodcast.com. We want to know what you think. We think we've got something really, really special here, something you guys are really going to enjoy, but we need you to check it out. Let us know what you think and help us to make it better, all right? Use the comments in the sub to give us feedback, DetroitLions.reddit.com. Check it out. Put some words in there, compliments or insults, whatever you want to put out there. That's fine. We love your feedback. Let us know what you think of the show. Also, make sure to follow us on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast. That's DET Lions Podcast. All the fun you could ever have and desire on Twitter. And we do it naked. Don't forget to leave us a voice message via Skype at Detroit Lions Podcast. That's all one word, Detroit Lions Podcast. Get a chance to hear yourself on the show. Don't forget about the student discount that you get on Amazon Prime. Amazon and chill, baby, with their streaming video service, your free shipping, two-day free shipping from Amazon and all your orders, and all kinds of other great stuff. It's free to you. Just go to our sponsors page, sign up for Amazon Prime for students, and you get 6 months of that for free. It's a great, great deal. Also, don't forget the other Amazon link. You got to turn off your ad blocker for that, but you get a chance to use that to go to the Amazon site before you do your shopping. We get a little kickback, you save a little money, and everybody's happy at the end of the day. Help us cover our costs for creating the show and all the new stuff we're doing on the site. Be sure to go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com if you haven't. Subscribe to the podcast and make sure it comes into your little box automatically. Who doesn't want that? Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next time on the Detroit Lions Podcast. It's your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
Let's bring it in here together. Let's go. Let's go.
Let's go, baby. Lions on three. One, two, three.
Lions!